This is the 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ryan Pinder out today. So we get into the 9. That's when this happens, hey? The 9?
Every day, 9 o'clock,
boom. After 9,
Yep. Usually starts right around here, like 9:08.
Yeah.
9:05.
I gotcha.
Something like that.
Huh.
Time is a fake construct anyways, so.
Interesting.
Mm.
Stampeder news this morning. Did you see it?
Not a big deal.
No surprise, yeah.
Big deal.
Kadeem Carey, one of the top performers of the week. 178 yards from scrimmage. Second career 100-yard rushing game. 109 on 20 carries. 5 receptions for 69 yards. And it was the yak. 61 yards gained after the catch. He was dynamite. And I've kind of been critical over the course of the year. And again, a lot of it comes down to how much work is getting done by the offensive line. Are the holes there? Is how much do you place on the running back? But he was sensational.
Man, I go back to what we were talking about with Dave Dickinson earlier today, and the ability is not the right word, but what the team is being given by having their meetings in person, especially for some of those trench positions like the offensive line and the defensive line, it's so huge for them to just be able to sit in the same room and look at film. And the biggest thing is accountability. Like, that's what Dave has said. You could look someone in their eye and say, you know, look at what you did here. Whereas if you're doing it on Zoom, it just doesn't have the same gravitas.
Yeah, you can't, when you want to lay into somebody, it's better when you can do it in person. You stink, you suck, you're no good, you're awful. I found it, at least with me, when bosses give me that kind of feedback, it really resonates a lot more when we're in the same room.
Yeah, like when you can feel
what's the matter with you.
On your face.
Why are you so awful? Would it kill you to be better? Could you not stink so bad?
Sounds like there's some deeper stuff there, but
I don't know.
That's fine.
I don't know. Hey, look what we've got here.
What do we have here, Boom?
Got some things to give away.
Oh, some tickets.
Yeah, I got some things to give away.
Right on. Where are we sending people today?
Well, what we're going to do, we've talked a lot about Cavalry FC. The excitement that is Cavalry FC at Atco Field is awesome.
Foot soldiers.
The foot soldiers. Now, I don't know how...
March.
I said this before. I don't know how Pinder finds a way to wedge himself into these things, but he's done it again. We have tickets to give away to the October 21st game. And you're going to be in there with the foot soldiers. And Ryan Pinder. You're also going to get some team merchandise, some food vouchers. They're really going to take care of you. This is the experience that you just can't get by buying your tickets online or just getting a ticket at the game. You can't do this. So right now, because I mentioned earlier, and you heard in the ad, the next game for Cavalry is coming up this week. They play York United.
Mm-hmm.
For this game that we're sending you to on the 21st, who are they playing? Keep it nice and easy. I guess you can Google it. But I feel like the people that really want in, you're going to know. This is a heated battle. Thursday, October 21st, you'll be in with the foot soldiers. You'll be in the corner with the smoke bombs and the drums and the flags and the celebrating and the hoiven and the glaven.
Hoiven and glaven.
If you can tell me by texting in your name and the opponent, 960-960, we'll hook you up with tickets.
That's going to be a big match, Boom.
Don't miss a moment of the energy with Cavalry FC. Be part of the stadium's heartbeat. Visit CavsFC.com. Now, you've been to the one game, right?
Yep. They're in the heart of the season right now. They're in the dog days, not the heart. 6 games left.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the heart.
No, they're coming down to the end. 5 more at home, 1 more on the road, and they're right near the top of the table.
Well, that's where Tommy does it, right? Got to be there at the top of the table.
Penthouse suite at the top of the table.
And by playing this team that they're going to play,
we'll
get them, could be in good shape, get them near the top of the table.
How's this for a hint? They have to play them twice.
Yeah, they do.
And both those matches are going to be massive.
That's right. Where are the standings here right now? Calling them up here. Couple back-to-back draws. They have right now 37 points after a pair of draws. 2 points back of Pacific FC, who has played one more game. So you take care of your business this week. Tie for top of the table. Tommy tied. Tommy tied. Top table.
Another big match with Forge coming up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, buddy.
They're going down to the wire.
Yeah, buddy. So text in. We'll pick a couple winners, and you'll be in with the Foot Soldiers coming up on the 21st of this month.
Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Thursday action. That'll be good. That'll be real good.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock starts. It's not too late.
Not too
bad. It's the only thing we talked about. These games are quicker.
Well, I mean, no messing around. I mean, get in there. It's not like a baseball game. You're not going to be there for 4 hours. Get your corn and your beer and whatever and sit down and start watching. Don't start. If you got to empty your bladder, do it before. Do it at the half. Because then sit down and be ready. Because you can't just. You need this, all right? Walking around, needing to tinkle and all that. Come on, figure it out.
Clean it up.
Coming up, we will have the Pinder report.
Yep.
Earlier in the show. The
it was good, hey?
It was, yeah, it was really great.
Slapped it together. No problem.
Baseball from yesterday. There were 3 games yesterday. 1 series will continue. There will be a game 5 in the NLDS as the Dodgers stayed alive with a 7-2, a convincing 7-2 win.
Yes, sir.
The Giants. And it could have been worse. LA had bases loaded in the bottom of the third. And Chris Taylor, who had the home run, what, in the previous series, early on in this series? Bottom three, hit it to the track. That would have, that'd be another 4. And then Mookie Betts had a chance with bottom 5. They were loaded for him. They bring in just the 1 run. So it was a lot of the Giants, of the Dodgers last night. Game 5 Thursday. Winner moves on. Crazy to think, and I don't know how I feel about it. Baseball, the games are long and series are long. I do wonder why you don't do best of 7s here. It's pro sports. Everybody does 7s, right?
Always confuses me. You got 1 game in the wild card. You go to a 5-game set. You play 3 game sets all season. It just feels like a clerical error.
You could do 7. Feel like you could do 7, but, you know, what the hell do I know?
What's your power rankings for tomorrow between the old football game? You got the Buccaneers game.
Yeah. Now, do you mean in terms of that or watching my watching? Will I be watching football or baseball?
Like, what are you going to be watching tomorrow? Because we got the Buccaneers taking on the Eagles in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have this baseball game, Dodgers-Giants. They'll be going on kind of head-to-head.
It's going to be some flipping. I feel like the Bucs might run away with this thing.
Mm.
I don't know about the Eagles. I still can't believe you picked the Eagles as your lock of the week in that game. I can't believe you. Like, what an amazing pull.
Thank you.
Horseshoes, but what? Because they trailed, what, double digits in that game for most of that game.
Carolina's not that good, you guys. They're not that good.
Yeah, all right.
They got a fine defense. Like, Sam Darnold is an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, huh?
But he's, you know, he's not top 5 in the league.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
The receivers are fine. Christian McCaffrey's always hurt.
Mm-hmm. So, to answer your question.
Stephon Gilmore.
It's going to be flipping back and forth.
A little back and forth. All right.
Stampeders. Saturday. They have some routine back in their life. As 2 wins against the Riders. Now it's BC and Vancouver on this Saturday. And this is who they need to catch. They have, it's not a great start to the season, but they have managed to pull some things together here in a short amount of time. And with a win over BC this week, we'll get to 10 points, which can theoretically tie them with the Riders. Well, it wouldn't theoretically, because the Riders are on a bye, right?
Yes.
They're on a bye this week, and then they'll play them again next week. So.
And the Stampeders have the tiebreaker against Saskatchewan with those 2 wins.
And the Elks are a mess.
They are a disaster.
They're going away from Trevor Harris, a quarterback from the sounds of things, so it has been pretty much a lost season for them. So top 4. Well, let's say three of the top four kind of wide open.
Yeah.
Seems like Winnipeg's kind of interested and determined to take that number one spot. But
they are the only team in the league that has a playoff clinching scenario here in Week 11.
The Stamps Report with Matty Rose is coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
And welcome back to The Nine. No Ryan Pinder today. Couple more things we got to get to before the Jeff Merrick Show at 10 o'clock, and it is a loaded Jeff Merrick Show as well. Elliot Friedman will open the program, as he always does. Rod Brindamore, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, set to join the program at 11 in the morning, and Cassie Campbell-Pascal will join at 11:30. But first, it's time for your Stampeders Report.
The Stamps took to the practice field on a chillier Tuesday, frost lingering on the field underneath the shadow of the southern scoreboard. Calgary returned to practice having won back-to-back games for the first time this season, getting themselves right back into the playoff picture. In the West, the Bombers sit atop the division. Shiny 8-1 record, the league's best team by the numbers right now, and they'll most likely hold that position going into the postseason. That's because it's going to be a fight for those last two spots in the West. The Riders are 5-4, the Lions are 4-4, the Stampeders are 4-5. Then the miserable Elks down at 2-6. But with Calgary having won their last two games, they've taken the season series against both the Riders and the Elks. So how much confidence has the team gained since losing to Hamilton going into the bye week? Dave Dickinson had this answer.
I do feel like, you know, good energy. I think the confidence is there. Just want us to realize why. Why were we winning football games? Why were we getting better? So that's what I'm trying to focus on here in practice. So, yeah, we are in a better spot. We're not in a great spot, though. We got a long way to go. We're still climbing out of the hole. Yeah, we can see some light, but we're still climbing, man.
The club has a big road test this weekend. They'll head out to the Western Coast to face BC. BC will be coming out of a bye week. Prior to that, they had been handed back-to-back losses, so you know it's going to be a hungry Lions squad. They were able to beat the Stampeders back at McMahon in Week 2 of this season. Of course, that being the game where Bo Levi Mitchell threw four interceptions while playing on a broken leg. BC knocked off the Red Blacks in weeks 4 and 6 shortly thereafter, then defeated the Alouettes the following week before losing two games. So they're 1-4 within the division. This is a big opportunity for the Stampeders to not only draw even with BC, but also inch closer to the possibility of a home playoff game. What evolution has Dave Dickinson seen in the Lions since that game way back on August the 12th?
Well, I mean, I think defensively, they've gotten even better. So if you, they kind of took it to us the last time, and now they're doing more things, and they look fast, confident. I think Ryan Phillips is doing their defense, and he's doing a great job. They've had a few injuries, you know, in their special teams, obviously losing Lucky, and offensively that hurts them. But I think Mike Riley is now completely healthy. He already played a great game against us. They've got weapons, so they're going to be focused. They got beat right before the bye. They're going to be ready to play us, and we got to go out there and try to steal one.
Got some wild numbers for you regarding the Stampeders and bye weeks as well. With the Calgary win a couple weeks back, Dave Dickinson is now 15-2 with his team coming out of a bye. Impressive in itself. But how about this from Jean Lefebvre with the Stampeders? In the last 15 instances where Dave Dickinson has faced a rested opponent, he's 14-1. Even better than when his team is coming off of a bye week. So what do all those numbers mean to Dave Dickinson?
What to it is we've been an excellent team for many, many years. I mean, we haven't lost very many games. This is a new team, a new year, new challenges, very young. History is great. I mean, I think you need to look at history. Obviously, if you don't, you're deemed to repeat it. I wouldn't mind repeating those numbers. So it's one of those things, though, that we're not focused on those numbers. I love them. That means I was part of some really good teams. We're a team that's building and growing, and I like these guys. And hopefully we keep that streak going.
Back in Week 2's loss to the Lions, the Stampeders had Bo Levi Mitchell playing on a broken leg, throwing interceptions all over the place. Kadeem Carey couldn't get any traction behind an offensive line that had changed quite a bit throughout training camp. On the defense, Mike Rose and Derek Wigan had sacks. Darnell Sankey had 8 tackles to lead the defense, but Brian Burnham and Lucky Whitehead both had over 100 yards receiving. Recently, the Stampeders have seen an improvement on defense. It really begins by creating pressure on the quarterback. Michael Riley, not the most fleet of foot, but the Stampeders only sacked him twice back in Week 2. They'll look for more pressure come this weekend. Corey Mace is the defensive line coach for the Stamps, and he spoke to the media Tuesday about the growth that we've seen in his unit.
Some of the guys, the veterans that have been around, you know, I thought we as a collective, as a group early, you weren't seeing it from everybody. It was just kind of the usual suspects, but we weren't finishing. Now that some of the young guys, new guys coming into the league, now they're getting more comfortable, you know, how to pass rush in this league. And kind of guys are now just cutting it loose, trusting their hands, trusting their footwork. And it's kind of coming together at the right time. And it's good because we do have, you know, guys in the stable who are itching to get out there who can get the job done. You know, Banks, just to throw it out there, right, is a guy who didn't get to play last week, who's very capable. I think we've all seen that. So it's a good problem to have right now. And having these young guys on top of the veteran group who are, you know, staying consistent with their craft, which kept them in the league this long.
I mean, I'm sure no one, I know you guys weren't making excuses, but in those early games, when you guys weren't kind of getting to the quarterback as much as you probably would have liked, how much of that was kind of understandable given no preseason and the amount of time off?
I mean, yeah, that's an easy thing to point to, Danny, but you know, for us, it's our standard is our standard. And honestly, I would lean on that as an excuse if, you know, everybody else in the league was having that issue. Not the case, right? Everybody didn't have preseason and other teams were getting to the quarterback. So, you know, we didn't look at that as an excuse or, you know, a crutch, so to speak. We just knew that we had to work to get better and work harder. And these guys have done that consistently week in from week one all the way to, like you said, it came to fruition kind of on the rematch game there. And it was really good to build confidence from that to know that all the work that they're putting in, you know, we'll pay out on game day. So again, we just continue to climb that ladder, so to speak, on that aspect of practice, and hopefully the reflection of that comes to the game.
And finally for me, I mean, you know, Flo better than anyone. I'm sure he's sort of dying to just kind of get back out there. How much of a boost is getting a guy like that back sooner rather than later here?
Yeah, I think one thing we all love about Flo in this building is, you know, his work ethic, self-motivated guy, even in situations where, you know, he's got kind of a bad run of luck with injuries. He's usually coming back quicker than most people with those injuries. And even today he was flying around. So I know he's itching and chomping at the bit, just like other guys in the room. But not, you know, the standard doesn't change. You gotta work and prove that, you know, you're suitable to be on the field. For us right now. So, you know, nothing changes, whether it's Flo, Rose, Lemon, Wiggs, it doesn't matter. These guys, you got to work. You got to do it right. And, you know, when your number's called, make some plays, baby.
And Matt Rose, Fan 960.
Maddie.
How we doing, Mace?
I'm doing okay, man. You working double hours. I listened to you in the morning. You actually, I guess that's not really work for you, is it?
No, definitely not. This isn't work too hard either, man. I wanted to ask you about Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund, a guy who was drafted high, and as the years have gone on, kind of more and more on his plate. How much growth have you seen from him over the course of the year?
I'd say out of anybody in our room, number one. As far as growth, you know, we call him Spaz a little bit. You know, he's a high energy guy. He's going to run around the field. He's a very, very physical player. He's one of those cats, and very few have it, where he does kind of just flip a switch, two different people, where he's on the field and off the field. But we love that. But as far as him and his technique, getting adjusted back to the Canadian game as opposed to the U.S. game down south, tying in his hands and his footwork and his pass rush, I mean, it's night and day to completely two different players. You know, we clown him a little bit about it from his first days in training camp to where he's at now. And truthfully, he's literally been getting better every week, you know, on game days. You know, the sacks might not reflect that, but it's coming for him. And we're all excited for Bergs.
The injury to Royce Metchie caused a little bit of a change to the ratio on the defense. You've had to kind of deploy your guys a little bit differently, but it feels like you haven't really missed a step in that sense. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's okay. You know, as a group, we all feel confident in our ability in the room. So, you know, for us to carry the Canadians up front, just like the guy we spoke about being Bergs, it gives him an opportunity to get some more snaps being a starter now. And then also just having the rotation inside with the Canadians at the D-tackle position right now, being Wiggs and Vin, and also Cenit Spaulding, you know, getting extensive action in there. So it's good for those guys to get, you know, their feet wet and some extra reps out there. And it's a good thing, right, in this league. If you got really good Canadians, you know, the chances are you got a pretty dang good team. So these are valuable reps for those guys, and they're making them count. We're pleased with their play, but, you know, we're always looking for better. So they're going to keep working to do that amongst themselves.
early on in the year, a lot of your guys were mentioned they felt like this could be one of the best defenses in the league, and it feels like over the last few weeks it's really starting to come together. I guess, how close is this defense to that maximum potential?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are some really good defenses out there across the league, obviously, which are Winnipeg's or Hamilton's and even your BC's. I really do. I think the one thing that's changed for us as an organization is these last couple weeks here, you know, our players and coaches, we've been able to meet in person as opposed to being on Zoom, which is allows a little bit more building, you know, camaraderie and some brotherhood amongst the players. And then also just getting coaching points across a little bit easier, having eye contact with these guys. So, you know, the correlation of that and how we're producing on the field, it's nice to see. We're trending in the right direction, but there's some really good offenses out there that we're going to see here coming up. So we've got to focus on details of what we want to do against these good offenses. And we're welcoming the test each week. So it's exciting to see these guys go out each week.
That is defensive line coach Corey Mace getting his group set for a road matchup in BC on Saturday, while they'll be trying to bring down Michael Riley. Before we go, some roster updates from Tuesday's session. Similar to last week, the Calgary Stampeders are going to hold a closed practice on Wednesday. So on Tuesday, we saw limited action from running back Kadeem Carey and Ante Milanovic Leader. Also on the field, but not doing a whole lot of participating, Kamar Jordan had not yet returned from his hamstring injury. Dave Dickinson gave this update.
One thing with hamstrings and muscle pulls, it is a little tougher when the weather gets colder. So that's just a reality. It's just a little bit tighter. It's harder to keep it loose. So, you know, I do have to be careful with him, but he's a guy that we could use. And as soon as he tells me it's a green light, he's back in.
Rene Paradis, the kicker, was a limited participant. We also saw Falerin Orimolade, one of the team's defensive ends, back on the field.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him practicing in full tomorrow. And we got a few guys that are close now, so that's a good thing. We're finally getting some reinforcements, but we also had a few guys that looked like they were hurting a bit. So we want to put the best roster we can out there, the freshest roster, also the roster with continuity. So those are things we got to look at.
Canadian receiver Richie Sindani was limited in his action. He left the most recent contest against Saskatchewan.
He's just got a muscle pull, but I don't think it's super severe. He does a lot for us. I think Richie's underrated. In fact, I think I'm glad you asked about him, because he is our security blanket. Him and Colton kind of know the entire receiver positions, and I feel confident we can execute our offense with those guys across the board. So that, as a coach, is kind of like your must-haves. You have to have a couple guys that you feel you can talk football and talk the offense with, and they can figure things out. And I'm really happy that we got him, and he's having, not a super flashy year, but still a good solid year.
Finally, Jake Meir, the backup quarterback for the Stampeders, not seen at Tuesday's session. And it sounds like his status for the weekend is up in the air, as it is a COVID-related absence for the backup quarterback, Jake Meir.
Yeah, he's in COVID protocol, so we'll see what happens. But it's unfortunate he wasn't able to be here. We're just following the rules.
So not many updates there from Dave Dickinson, but we do look forward to getting more information and hope the best for Jake. The Stampeders have also added linebacker Brad Cowan on Monday. They signed the Wilfrid Laurier linebacker, a former sixth-round pick of Ottawa in 2020. Played 3 games with the Red Blacks this season before he was released on September 25th. This is what Dave Dickinson had to say about Cowan.
Yeah, we just can't seem to find that depth of Canadian special teamers really being taxed right now. It really is. It's light, and we honestly don't really have anybody. We have a few guys available that are just maybe close coming off injury, but nobody's there that could play. So you have to have at least one healthy body on a special teams type of body. Got a couple offensive linemen. Ronnie's been around all year. He's kicking, but we just didn't have that special teams body, so we needed to bring Brad in. Don't know a lot about him. Talked to him this morning. He's excited. We'll see how quick we can get him ready.
So we'll wait to see when the linebacker can get into the lineup. Doubtful to be this weekend against the BC Lions, but someone who could participate and help out on special teams. With your Stampeders report, I'm Matt Rose. And yes, I'm Matt Rose. That's your Stampeders report. We do have to get to the Pinder report as well, sans Pinder. That'll be up next on the 9. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Bet to the 9 on the home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Nine. We're putting a little bit of a bow on the program here this morning. The Jeff Merrick Show coming up with Elliot Friedman just after 10 o'clock. But first, let's get you the news of the day. It's the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Hey guys, I'm Matt Rose.
Hey Matt Rose.
Matt Rose. Wow.
Ryan Pinder.
Yeah, he's not here. So we'll dive into yesterday with the NHL. As it was back, fellas. I don't know if you caught the 6-minute video that was floating around the internet with this little ditty. Whew, little jam. As ESPN returned, they had their broadcast yesterday. Started with the Lightning and the Penguins. First period of this one, no goals scored. First goal came in the second.
Jeff Carter, backhanded back in deep by Brian Rust. Carter blocked the clear by Vasilevsky, and a goal! Sloppy play by Vasilevsky, and it was centered by Carter right onto the stick of Danton Heinen, who has a goal in his Pittsburgh Penguins debut.
So no Malkin, no Crosby, no Gensel to start the season for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but they're getting some scoring from some of their depth guys like Brian Boyle, still
taken
in the league.
Back by Marino.
Everything has to be quicker for Tampa Bay, quicker to the puck.
There's a great chance and a goal! Brian Boyle continues to be an amazing story. Had to try out for the team. Just was told he made it yesterday at age 36. And he has his first goal as a Pittsburgh Penguin.
How about that, fellas? Love to see Brian Boyle in the league and producing.
I like the way that they make him sound like he's 100. And in the league at the at the age of 36 years old. Oh, my Jesus. It's 36. I mean, happy for him, right? He went to, PTO? Earned a job? Gets a goal? I've always liked Brian Boyle. I always like Brian Boyle. Big, strong centerman, good on the draws, good guy.
Had the Pens up 2-0.
If only he wasn't so bloody old, you know?
Yeah, 100?
That's a 37. Oh, God.
Hey, remember this guy?
A few hope plays, they're not really in position to make quick, clean exits out of their zone, and they start running around again.
And a goal! Thrown toward the net from the point, seemed harmless. Dominic Simone just threw it toward the net, and Vasilevsky apparently didn't see it.
Oh, didn't get many of those from Dominic Simone last year here with the Flames. Chris Letang and Brock McGinn had the assists as the Penguins jumped out to a 3-0 lead early on in this one.
Old Dominic Simone.
Old Dom Simone, yes, sir.
Couldn't crack the lineup. Just couldn't get in here. Played 11 games. No goals, no points, no pims, even. It's as though he didn't play. One game, one goal. And doesn't this happen every year, Retro? Because I know last year, I feel like on opening night.
Jankowski
had two, I think. Erik Gustafsson, the defenseman, also scored. It's a great night for former Flames. In the future, if you're in fantasy, just stream former Flames.
Can't wait
in your week one lineup.
Week one.
Derek Ryan's four-goal outburst tonight.
Yeah, get ready. Like, honestly, get ready for it.
So we'll keep an eye on the action later today to see if any other former Flames absolutely go off. One other goal of relevance in this one as the Lightning did get on the board.
And it's a goal for Tampa Bay. Hedman threw it in from the point. Might have hit somebody out in front. And there's a reason why John Cooper's won as many games as he has.
Yeah, he wouldn't win that one, though. Three empty net goals for the Pittsburgh Penguins. 6-2, the final score in the season's very first game, gentlemen.
Somebody had mentioned it online. Of course, Corey Perry, a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I wonder how he felt during the old banner raising. While the crowd's going crazy and all these Lightning players are celebrating their big cup win when Perry was on the other side, if you recall, in the cup final.
I do recall.
I don't know if that's... Is it bittersweet? I don't think there's anything sweet about it. It's like, oh, great for you guys.
I don't know. I've never won. But I feel like once you've won, you can be like, oh.
You feel like that the whole... the pain isn't as strong?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Not that it's It's not what you're trying to achieve or live with, but I think it's a little less of a bite.
And for me, if anything makes Corey Perry feel uncomfortable, I'm fine with it. So,
look out, guys! Here comes the Crosbys, the Penguins, the Crosbys.
Here come the Crosbys, everyone!
Here come the Crosbys, everybody!
Look out!
You tell the kids to do Crosbys on practice. They do the.
What is the Crosby? What's the drill?
Between the legs?
They point their feet out.
Oh yeah, what are
around the cone.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, the flat skates.
So anyway, what
work
about
on your edge work?
What about the Crosbys? Did you have?
They won. They're going to go undefeated. They won the first game of the season. Elsewhere, Vegas and
without Crosby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, or Malkin, or like there was a bunch of. It was Brian Boyle. He was the guy. Old Brian Boyle. Vegas, Seattle.
Stevenson can fly over the blue line. Late developing 3-on-2. Pacioretty score.
That goal from Max Pacioretty got the Golden Knights started. 3:10 into the frame. First of two for Pacioretty on the evening. They'd get out to a 3-0 lead early on in this one. Wasn't looking good for the Kraken for quite some time until we saw the franchise's first tally.
Back to even strength. Don scored. Dunn walking in, shot, glove save, loose score! Ryan Donato has the first goal in Seattle Kraken history.
And it wasn't long before Seattle scored again. In fact, it was only 69 seconds.
Eberle in front, McCann is in the net! I believe Schwartz got a piece of that. If he didn't, it went off the skate of a Golden Knight.
So all of a sudden, Seattle's back in this thing. The Kraken rise from the depths. Could they tie it?
Marchessault tries to make a move, but it turns over to Geeky. Geeky, quick wrist shot, score! Holy snakey! What a snipe by Geeky!
Geeky's a guy that a lot of people who were covering the Seattle Kraken were very excited about. A lot of it because of that shot. And as you heard there, holy shnikey, that thing's nothing to trifle with.
Holy shnikey, a snipe from Geeky.
Score! Holy shnikey! What a snipe by Geeky!
Well, he's from Strathclair.
Strathclair?
It's by Shoal Lake. His old man, his old Geeks. Geeks is his old man. So you can expect that kind of a shot from a guy from Strathclair. He's gonna rip that thing.
67's what he wears. First goal. Love to see it. Could be one of those breakout guys for the Kraken. You never know. Remember when Vegas, back when they started, we thought they were going to be a bad team, and then they had guys have career years. Morgan Geeky could definitely be one of those guys. Jared McCann, who got credited with the second goal, another one for sure. Game winner in this one, a little controversial.
Stone. Stevenson is in the net. It's a good goal. And the Knights have the lead back.
Deflected, angled, kicked. Depends on which team you cheer for, I think. But I'm sure something that is going to be in conversation today just based on it being the first game of the season and kind of a bar-setting call.
Looked like a kick.
Don't talk to me about feet and goals. And
creases and disallowed. Why is that, Red?
Bitter.
All right. We'll move on.
Tonight, 5 games. We got the Canadiens and Leafs at 5 o'clock. 5:30, the Capitals will face the Rangers. Then at 8, 3 games will get underway. The Avalanche and Blackhawks, the Oilers hosting the Canucks, and the Ducks taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Gentlemen, we'll jump to a little bit of baseball here.
Play ball.
Yesterday we had 3 games in the postseason, the MLB postseason. We're going to have a Game 5 on Thursday, and that's going to feature the Dodgers and the Giants after yesterday. A 7-5 win for the LA Dodgers.
Strand at 11. That ball's hit well. Center field. Back is Slater. Out of range. 2-run home run.
2-run shot for Will Smith in the bottom of the 8th. That made it 7-2 for the Dodgers as they get a huge win. Mookie Betts also had a home run, a 2-run shot. They will be the ones playing the Game 5 on Thursday, fellas. We had Adnan Virk on yesterday. He said this series has felt like the World Series, and that deciding Game 5 is going to be must-watch television tomorrow evening.
What time are we playing? What time are we playing that thing? We are playing that. Yeah, it's going to be late one. 9:07. That's not bad. We can do that. We can make that work.
7:07? Yeah, that's pretty good for on the West Coast.
There. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Elsewhere, this one was not really close. Houston taking on Chicago. Houston had a chance to end the series. Chopper back up the middle, and another base hit for Brantley. Another one to score, Altuve.
Another huge add-on run right there.
Yep, that is an unearned run. Two bases on the air, takes third on the wild pitch, and Brantley gets ahead in the count to drive in Altuve.
Yeah. Oh, poor kids.
That made it 7-1. Houston went on to win 10-1. They advance with that win. Elsewhere, the Brewers are taking on the Braves. This one was back and forth. First scoring came in the top of the fourth.
The liner into center field for Kane. Coming from third base is Urias. Narvaez will stop at third, and the Brewers will take a 2-0 lead.
But things got evened up by Eddie Rosario in the fourth.
Broken bat signaled into center field. From third comes Riley. Here comes Darno. He will score. This game is tied.
All tied up going into the fifth inning. You know who's been really good in this postseason? Boomer's son, Rowdy Tellez.
Fly ball hit to deep center field. Back goes Duvall at the wall. That ball is gone into the forest in center field. A two-run home run for Rowdy Tellez, his second of the series, and the Brewers take a 4-2 lead. 448 feet away for Rowdy Tellez, and the Brewers take a 4-2 lead.
448?
Yeah.
Crushed it.
This thing was a rocket. He basically walked around the bases. It was a no-doubter for sure.
That hammy straight boom.
Well, I talked to him afterwards. I mean, he's
proud of you, son.
You want to, well, but you want to be part of a win, right?
Oh,
it's not all about individual accomplishments. His second home run of the series, he's played great, but it's about team success with my boy Rowdy.
Yeah, Atlanta would tie it in the bottom of the fifth, and then top of the eighth.
Thanks much, Ernie. Two down in the eighth. Freddie Freeman with the Brewers in a shift. It's a fly ball to center field. Lorenzo Cain going back at the wall. Freddie Freeman's left the yard and put the Braves on top in the bottom of the eighth.
Al Will Smith would come into this game to earn the save with three outs. Trying to do like three things here at once.
Yeah, I know you are,
but all over the place.
Just keep it simple. We don't care about Will Smith. Men in Black. You know, that weird Hancock movie.
Also did the home run for the Dodgers that I played moments ago. So we played in two games yesterday, which is super cool. Good for him.
I was going to say, I'm not sure he was in that game, but, you know, just it's all good.
Well, Will Smith hit a home run, and Will Smith recorded the save, boom. Like, I really doubt there's two Will Smiths in baseball.
You're probably right.
Probably. Finally, gents, we'll move on to a little bit of...
And good night and good luck to you.
Okay.
We'll do a little bit of a Canada-Panama. Because tonight, from Toronto, Canada's going to face Panama in World Cup qualifying action. So far, two draws for Canada in this window. They're undefeated, but they need to start collecting some wins. And the next window is a pair of games up in Edmonton, which is going to be lots of fun.
So two draws or three?
This says, from Ryan's notes, two draws so far.
I thought they drew with the Americans.
Brett, stop.
What?
You're backing Maddie into a corner. He's playing Van Halen. He's trying to run the board. He's got Dave Dickinson calling him right away, and you're asking him how many draws Canada's soccer team had.
I have no idea, Rhett. I don't have a clue.
Well, I'm sorry. I should have. That was poor judging he's my trying part to even bring it up.
Yeah, he's feeding quarters into the jukebox to keep Van Halen going.
It was the
Pinder
report, so I felt like I needed to blast Pinder, but I apologize.
Clean it up, Pinder. Guys, NFL Week 6 starts Thursday. Buccaneers and Eagles in fantasy. Pinder will face Bo. Boom's got Pat. Rhett's got Klein. I'll face Logan Gordon. Week 11 of the CFL starts Friday. The Hitmen, fourth game of the season's this Friday, and Cavalry will face York tomorrow at Atco Field at Spruce Meadows. How's that for a Pinder report?
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
I feel like we've had a lot of those ending with Panama lately. Not mad, just a fact. Jeff Merrick Show coming at you next. Elliot Freeman will kick it off. Big show at 2. Sportsnet Today with Riley and Logan will be at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.